No idea. Oh, man. It's really an honor to be here to talk to you today. I want to encourage you, though, before I get started, have you seen that new fellowship tent and ministry mall out there? All our ministries under one roof. Isn't that awesome? My wife and her team put that together so you guys can have a place to fellowship and to sit down and get to know each other and make relationship happen. Because we have been designed for abundant relationships. And I'm going to talk about that, but first I got to tell you a little story. See, there was this businesswoman, and she was between flights at an airport, and she went into one of those little newsstands to get a paper, and when she went in, she saw they had little packages of chocolate chip macadamia nut cookies, and she smiled because they reminded her of her trip to Hawaii, so she bought a pack of cookies. She knew it would go great on the flight. She bought a newspaper, and then she went out to sit in the waiting area, you know, in the long rows of seats, and she was able to get the end seat. And so she put her carry-ons on the next seat because she was a private person who loves her private space, you know. And then in the next seat over, there was a neatly dressed businessman reading a paper. He looked really safe. So she just sort of settled down, pulled out her paper, began to read and wait for her flight. A couple of minutes later, she hears this sound, this kind of rustly sound, you know, like the sound of a plastic bag, you know, the kind that cookies come in. And she looks over, and she's flabbergasted to see this guy has opened her precious bag of chocolate macadamia nut cookies, and he's taking one, he's eating it. And she doesn't know what to do, but she doesn't want to make a scene, but she wants to let this guy know he's not getting away with anything. So she reaches over and grabs a cookie and bites and just goes, and eats her cookie and goes back and starts reading her paper. She figures that takes care of it. About 2 minutes later, she hears rustle, rustle again. He looks over and there's his hand back in that bag and he's pulling out another cookie to eat it. And she's getting more and more angry and she grabs another cookie and she bites on, eats the cookie, goes back. This process goes on for about 3 or 4 more rounds. He takes another cookie, she reaches over and grabs another cookie. He takes one, she grabs, with increasingly more violence, she's taking in the cookies. And then pretty soon, that bag is about gone. There's one cookie left. And she's fuming inside. She's so mad she doesn't even dare say a word. But the nerve of this guy, he reaches in and takes the last cookie. And then, as if to add insult to injury, he breaks it in half and slides half over to her in the seat, eats his half and gets up and leaves. And she is just about to pop an artery at this point. I mean, she doesn't know what to do. She felt so violated, so ripped off. What should she do? Call the police in and report a cookie jacking, you know? But then her flight was called. And so she had to go. She had to let it go. She gets up. As she walks to get her boarding pass, she opens up her bag. And can you imagine her surprise as she pulls out of that bag her brand new unopened package of chocolate chip macadamia nut cookies? But isn't that how life is? I mean, we do this to each other. We make wrong assumptions. We draw wrong conclusions. We're constantly understanding each other, aren't we? Isn't that the way it is? But you know what? No matter how poor we may be at it, and how often we might completely mess things up with each other, we are still designed by God to be in relationship with one another. Why? Because He knows something we don't. He knows what it's going to take. He knows exactly what it's going to take to make us all that we were meant to be. And so close relationships have been a part of God's plan for mankind from the very beginning. Would you read that first scripture with me in your notes, Genesis 2:18? Ready? Go. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." You know, most of the time we think of that passage as relating to marriage, right? A man needs a wife, a woman needs a husband. But if you look at those verses in context, the next verse that follows says this: "So out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field." Think about that for a second. God goes, "It's not good for man to be alone. I'm going to make him a helper comparable to him." And she says, "Okay, how about a cow? You know, or a horse, or a donkey, or a pig, you know?" And you know, I know, ladies, the devil right now is trying to tempt you to think something unkind about men. Don't give in to him, okay? You know, don't give in to him. But God knows what he's doing. So after he makes all the animals and bugs and stuff, he pulls the rib out of Adam, makes the woman. Adam goes, awesome, this is just what I wanted. And he enters into a wonderful marriage relationship. But you know what? Here's the deal. When God says it's not good for man to be alone, he's not just talking about marriage and a spouse and a mate, but he's also talking about mankind's built-in need to be in relationship with other human beings. And I believe there's an aspect of this verse that relates to all of us. And God is saying to us today, to you and me, it's not good for you to be alone. But you might be thinking, hey, I'm sitting at New Hope at the 11 o'clock service. 3,000 people must be here. I'm not alone. But do you know what that word alone really means? I bet some of you do from personal experience. But here's Webster's definition. Definition one. Separated or isolated from others. And how many know you can be in a crowd of people 24 hours a day and be the loneliest person on the face of the earth? Totally isolated from relationship. The other definition, number two, without aid or support. And family, God doesn't want you to be either one. He doesn't want his children to be lonely, and he doesn't want them to be without the aid and support they need. And so he designed his church to be that place where his people would find relationship and learn to live in relationship. And how many know we got to learn to live in relationship, you know? How to get along with each other and play nicely. We got to learn that stuff. And he wants us to know how to experience all the joys and benefits of God-blessed relationships. But there's a problem for many of us. Let's take our own church, for example. How many here feel the New Hope Christian Fellowship is about the best church on the face of the earth, bar none? Yeah? Let's give a hand. Our pastor is amazing. Our staff is amazing. You, the congregation, are completely amazing. All of our volunteers at every level are amazing. The heart to serve here is amazing. And me, even I have my moments of being absolutely amazing. I really do. And here's the deal. As we're all being amazing together, the ministry and the effectiveness of this church become absolutely amazing. Absolutely. But there's the problem. That's why we're such a big church. And that's the problem when it comes to forming those intimate relationships that God designed us to have. Because I bet a lot of you know all too well that you can come to a church like New Hope, a huge church, for years, and you still don't know anybody, and nobody knows you. And maybe you like it like that, but that is not the way God designed you. But if that's the way you are, you know what? You're missing out on so much of the abundant life that he has for you right here and now. So what do we do? Because I'll tell you, I don't see New Hope shrinking anytime soon. So are you saying, well, John, am I supposed to leave the big church now and go find a small church somewhere so I can fulfill this design that God had placed in me? Well, let me tell you right now, there is no way I'm telling you that. If I was telling you that, I'd be out of a job like here now. I'm not telling you that. What I'm saying is let's go look at the scripture and see what God says about his design for his church. And would you read with me Acts chapter 5, verse 42. Ready? Go. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. See, they met in the temple and from house to house. And check it out in your Bible sometime, but in Acts chapter 2, the very first day the church was born, the day of Pentecost, that day they baptized 3,000 people. Now that's a serious baptism. And it says shortly thereafter the church was up to about 5,000 people. Now that's a pretty big church by anybody's standard. So what did they do? How did they make it work? It says that they met together in the temple, all the dynamics and excitement of a big church service. And they also met from house to house in small groups, in intimate relationships of maybe 4 to 12 people. So see, from the very beginning, God's design for his church is to be both large and small all at the same time. He's brilliant. You know, and just like Pastor Wayne loves to say, the God we serve is not an either or God. He's a both and God. His church is to be large and small all at the same time. And would you fill in that first blank? Small groups have been God's plan for his church from the very beginning. That's the truth. They're his plan for us to have healthy relationships that we were designed for. And this is for a number of reasons. And the first one is this. It's number one on your outline. It's about fellowship. Or another great term, heart connection. Give you a second to write that. Fellowship and heart connection. That's what we need. We need to be tied into one another. Small groups are designed for you to go deeper in relationship with each other, to make some true friends, and to find a personal spiritual family, brothers and sisters who will love you and who you can love in return. There's just nothing like seeing people love each other in a small group. Way back in the first century, a historian named Josephus was observing the Christians of that day. And he was impressed by one thing in particular, and he wrote it in his writings. A historian now wrote this. He wrote, "Oh, how they love one another." It must have showed when they were out in public. It must have showed when they met together in the temple. But you know what? That love was born and raised as they met in their small groups from house to house. And you can experience that same kind of love in a healthy small group here at New Hope. Let's read John 13, 34 together. Here's Jesus speaking. Ready, go. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." You know, family, your unconditional love for each other is one of the most powerful evangelistic tools ever. When people out there see Christians truly loving and serving each other, there's something in their heart that just goes off and says, "That's what I want. That's what I need." And small groups are the place where you can learn to give and receive and practice that kind of love. So fellowship is the first reason. Second reason that small groups are important to your Christian development is number two in your outline. It's about growth. God is calling each one of us to grow. Let's read that first verse, Ephesians 4:15. Ready? Go. "But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ." And read Colossians 3:16. Ready? Go. "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you." Yeah, the first area we want to grow in, that first bullet, is the knowledge of God. It's so awesome. We're in a relationship with God who knows us perfectly, but He wants you to know Him. He wants you to know all the aspects of Him and how much He loves you and how powerful He is and what He is able to do. He wants you to know that. And you know, we can grow so much as we go into personal devotions and read our Bible every day. How many went to that devotions class they had yesterday morning? Wow, a lot of you. Praise God. Keep it up with those devotions, because every day you are going to meet God. You're going to meet Him, and it's going to be powerful. You can learn so much there. But you also learn a lot in weekend messages and midweek messages. But let me tell you, if you want to grow and if you want to accelerate that growth, small groups are where it happens. It's where you can open up the Word and you can really talk about it. And you can even ask those questions that have been driving you nuts forever. You know, like, what about all the pygmies in Africa? I don't know. Whatever your questions might be, you can ask them in a small group. It's where you take a scripture and you can work it through so that you come to a place of understanding and application. You apply the scripture to your real life. And it's awesome. And it's powerful. It's also a place where, by the power of the Holy Spirit working in each person in that small group, God is able to teach each person through each other. It's not good English, but you know what I'm talking about? It's amazing and it's powerful, and I don't know how else to say it. But if you're not in a small group, you're missing out on that. But there's so many more areas that we need to grow in, that I need to grow in. Because God wants us to be a whole lot more than just saved people sitting around waiting for Him to come back. He wants us to grow up into all that He created us to be. And you know what else? He also wants us to learn and rise up and help other people grow. Because that's what disciples do. And even more than that, that's what older brothers and sisters do. They help their younger ones grow. And so a small group is a place where you can grow, in second bullet, in your leadership skills. And you might be thinking, "John, I'm not a leader and I don't want to be a leader, you know, so what's the deal?" Well, let me tell you, just try a small group. Just go to a small group. Because it's where you can be stretched little by little out of your comfort zone. You just show up, okay? That's step one. Just show up. And it's great. You're already doing great. Maybe soon after that, maybe you'll participate a little bit. Answer a question. And then maybe one day the leader will ask you to offer a prayer out loud and you just go, deer in the headlights time, you know. But then you give it a shot and maybe you pray a prayer like my little boy prays all the time. Dear God, bless all the people and all the animals and all the kids. In Jesus' name, amen. But it's a prayer and you did it and it's a huge step of growth for that person. And then later you begin to share what God has been teaching in His Word because it's just starting to bust out of you. And before you know it, you are growing in your leadership skills without even trying. And soon you're organizing a meeting or facilitating the discussion or praying over people or sharing godly counsel with somebody. Why? Because you've been faithful to be in His Word. See, family, small groups are where ordinary people are turned into leaders without hardly even trying. Last bullet under number two. Small groups are also a safe place to develop and practice your spiritual gifts. Did you know that every Christian, including you, has been entrusted by God with an awesome spiritual gift, the power of God alive in you? Would you read that scripture, 1 Corinthians 12:7, with me? Ready, go. A spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. If you want to know more about spiritual gifts, come to Growing Deep, Growing Strong next Saturday or our design class coming up because we cover that subject in those courses. But the fact of the matter is you have an awesome spiritual gift, maybe more, inside of you. But it's not for your good. It's for the common good. God's church needs your gift. But how do you find out what your gifts are? And how do you learn to use them? And what if, God forbid, you should make a mistake as you try? Well, small groups are God's designed place that you can learn and experiment and practice and grow in all the things that God has given you. And you know what, family? If true fellowship and spiritual growth were the only benefits of small groups, we should go run out of here and sign up for one. But you know what? There is so much more than that. And the next one is number three in your outlines. It's about encouragement, accountability, and protection. And I'll give you a minute to write that down. Encouragement, accountability, and protection. And you know, these are some of the most important aspects. Because how many here can get a little off from the center of God's will during the course of a normal week? You know, your boss, your coworkers, the guys on the freeway, your crazy family members. Hey, we need help, you know? I sure do. And not wait till Sunday. We need something in the middle of the week to just snap us out of it, you know? And how many, in the course of a normal week, can get a little down and discouraged by all the stuff you just have to slog through? And that's a normal week. So how many could use a little encouragement and hope and godly counsel and reorientation to God's will just during the course of a normal week? Me, you know? And it happens on a regular basis in a small group. Your emotions get fixed. You get redirected and put back on God's right path. God's truth comes back in and kicks out all the lies the enemy has snuck in that have been holding you down. And you know what? When you begin to understand how God renews and rebuilds your life in a small group like nowhere else, you're going to start working hard to not miss that small group because you begin to understand how valuable it is. One more scripture read with me. Hebrews 10:24. Ready? Go. Think of ways to encourage one another to outbursts of love and good deeds. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of His coming back again is drawing near. That's what small groups are all about. But you know, they become even more crucial when life gets tough. And how many here know that life can get really, really tough sometimes? Yeah. I mean, we go through some hard things pretty much on a regular basis because that's just the way life is. But sometimes the things that we go through and the things that you might even be going through right now are unbelievably intense. And man, this is where your small group becomes your lifeline to be able to come together with people who really love you. And who also are people who know God and walk with God and who are going to love you and stand by you and really pray for you and cry out to God for your situation. Man, that is priceless. It really is. You know, I've been a pastor for about 18 years and my wife and I, hey honey, we've served together in ministry. And most of that time has been as a senior pastor of a slightly smaller church than New Hope, okay? Every church is smaller than New Hope. And you know, those years have been some of our greatest joys, but they've also been some of our toughest, most painful times. And let me tell you right now, you pray for Pastor Wayne every day, because that senior pastor role is lovingly referred to by the enemy as prime target. Really is. You have no clue what a senior pastor goes through. Even an associate pastor has no clue what a senior pastor goes through. And there were times that we just wanted to absolutely die. And I tell you what, if it was not for our small group that met in our home, and that small group of pastors that I met with during those tough times, I would have absolutely, we would have quit this gig a whole long time ago. Wouldn't be a pastor anymore. I don't know what I'd be doing. I may be one of those guys as you drive through going, "You want fries with that?" You know, I don't know. But I wouldn't be a pastor anymore. And I just thank God for these people in our small group. You know what? We haven't seen them for quite a while. They all go to New Hope Diamond Head, different churches. But you know what? They were all here this weekend to support me as I do my debut preaching thing. They were all here, and it was just so awesome. That's what small groups are all about. And I'll thank God for those people to my dying day. But we all need that kind of support and encouragement. Amen? There's something else we all need, too, and it's called accountability. Ooh. For some people, that's kind of like a bad word, right? You know? Like people getting into my business, you know? But that's not it at all. Have you ever played sports or been on any kind of a team? Have you ever seen how players encourage and push each other to go way beyond the things that they could do alone, you know, to become all that they could be, more than they ever thought they could be? You know, that's what I'm talking about. I remember back at the church we pastored, there was a couple there who were really into weightlifting. Husband and wife weightlifting team. And they invited my son, Justin, who was playing high school baseball at the time, and myself over to learn how to lift weights and to work out with them on a regular basis. And, you know, you may not really believe this from looking at me, but honestly, I'm really not that into weightlifting, you know? But I went. And I went faithfully because of my son and because they were so gracious. And you know, when we went and we worked out, they encouraged me, but boy, did they push me. And I'd be under those weights and then, "Let's put on more." "No, don't put on more." "Yes, put on more. And you can do it." "You can." "No, I can't do it." "You can do it." "No, I can't. Help." You know, but they pushed me and they pushed me. And you know, it started to take effect. And I began to get a little bigger, and I started wearing them tight shirt. No, I didn't. But I remember one time, shortly around that time, we were at a Christian concert at the Waikiki Shell. You know, in the cheap seats where there are no seats, you know, up in the grass. And our church group was there, and there was this little kid, one of our family members. He actually was young, but he wasn't little. He was kind of this hefty package, right? But he was low, so he couldn't see very good. And I'm, you know, I want to help everybody, right? So I go, "Oh, you want to sit on my shoulders so you can see better?" And as I'm bending over to pick this kid up, suddenly the thought comes to me, "John, you are about to hurt yourself." You know, and I pick him up and I lift him up and put him on my shoulders, and it's like nothing. It's like a pillow full of feathers, and I start going, "Whoa, this is cool." The kid's going, "Ah, put me down." But I was getting stronger. I impressed myself. But you know what? Not long after that, baseball season ended, and I got busy, and we stopped going to work out together. And guess what happened? The strength that I had, listen now, when I was part of that small group of weightlifters, once I stopped going, the strength that I had was all but gone. You know? And it's no different with your spiritual strength and your spiritual life. God designed you to be in relationship with others so that you can grow up to your potential, so that you can live the Christian life with power, so that you can walk in victory through all the trials and temptations of life, because listen, they're going to come whether you're strong enough or not. So why not get yourself situated so you can be strong enough? Let's take another look at that same verse, Hebrews 10:24, in another version. It's the New American Standard. Ready, go. "And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds." That's what we do in small groups. We stimulate others to one another to learn more and to love more and to grow more than we ever could do on our own. And that's what true accountability is. It's not, hey, we want to take control of your life. It's, hey, are you having a hard time doing your devotions? Or are you struggling with this area or that area of your life? You know, I am too. Let's work together and grow. And you know what? That's true accountability, and that's going to bear real fruit in your life. That's going to bring real change. Whoa! What a concept. Change. Who changes? Have you ever said, yeah, I know I need to change, and someday real soon, I'm going to get real serious about doing something real serious about this. You know, you ever say that? And have you found out, like I have, that tomorrow always comes, and the day after that always comes, but someday, where'd it go? You know, someday never comes. But accountable relationships make someday happen. There's one more aspect I need to talk about on this section, and that's protection. Have you ever noticed that some of us are prone to some really goofy ideas sometimes? Especially when we're alone, because that's when the enemy messes with our heads, right? You ever been at home alone on a dark, stormy night, right? You're home alone, and all of a sudden you get the little chill thing, you know? And you know you ain't going to look out that window, because if you turn and look out the window, there's going to be, you know, right there. You know that's going to happen. I know you know that's going to happen. You know? It's not good for you to be alone. That's what God says. Or have you ever noticed that some people, now, I'm not talking about you, because I wouldn't do that. But some people, you know, out there can get really off and crazy about some things. You know, and it is so clear to you, but they got no clue. Right? You know what I'm talking about? And sometimes the only explanation is they have been deceived by the enemy's lies. Like in my years of pastoring, I've heard stuff like this. Like, God is telling me to divorce my Christian husband and marry this much cuter Christian guy who is like so godly. I've really heard that. Maybe not in a Valley Girl accent, but I have really heard that. But you know what? We are all subject to this kind of thing because we all got the same problem. And that is we can be totally blind when it comes to looking at ourselves. Agreed? Jeremiah 17:9, in there, God says it really clearly, and let me read it to you. It says, the human heart is most deceitful and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? You know, a very wise pastor who mentored me once told me, you know, the reason you don't know you're deceived when you're deceived is because you're deceived. Oh, yeah. Yeah. How can you know you're deceived if you're deceived? I mean, it makes sense, right? And that's why we all need some people in our lives who love us enough and know us well enough and know God well enough to go, wait a minute, do you really believe God said that? Hey, there is no way God said that, and here's why. And they open the book, and they put their arm around you, and they walk you gently through to the truth again. It is so good to have people who love you and who are watching out for you and who got your back, yo, you know? People who will cover you with prayer and give you godly counsel when you need it most. And that is another huge benefit of being part of a small group family. And finally, number four in your outlines, it's about practical provision. Sometimes we can get so spiritual. Sometimes God just wants us to get down and be practical, you know? Take care of each other. What's it mean? Fill in your bullet there. Meeting life needs in practical ways. For instance, you're moving. How many have ever moved and needed some help? You know? Or you're a single mom and you need to pick up a big piece of furniture and you can't afford the $75 delivery fee. Or you're a single lady and your car breaks down at midnight out somewhere, you know? Who's going to help you? Well, when you're part of a small group, that question is often already answered. And I remember back in our small group, we had a lady, single mom, had a couple of kids. And she called up one night. And I tell you, when you're in a small group, you will share stuff with each other that you wouldn't tell anybody. And she calls up my wife one day and she goes, "Oh, I can't believe it. We're just got ukus everywhere. All my kids and me, we're just got ukus." We're talking about head lice here for those of you who just came over on the plane. "And I don't know what to do. We keep washing our hair and it doesn't go away. It just keeps coming back. Well, I don't know what to do." And so my wife, godly woman as she is, she just goes, "Well, I'll pray for you." No, she doesn't say that. If you know my wife, I'll tell you what she did. She went into the bathroom, put on the shower cap, put on the gloves, and went, "I'm going in." And she got in her car, and she drove over there, and she got that really, really strong shampoo that may kill a few brain cells, but really takes care of those puppies. And she washed their hair really well and did that whole thing. Then she took all their clothing and linens and packed them into plastic bags and brought them home. And then she cleaned that apartment from top to bottom. She cleaned the car and made sure everything was done, everything okay. Why? Because that's what people do who love each other. They get down and dirty and help each other when they need it most, and it doesn't matter what it is. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Because small groups are where God's people learn to love each other by taking care of each other in the daily stuff. They watch each other's kids so the parents can have a date night. You know, they cook for your family when you're sick or in the hospital. They do for each other because that's what families who love each other do. I heard lately from a woman who his husband had filed for divorce, and it was a pretty violent and angry situation. And because she was kind of just kicked out suddenly, she had to go back to the house to get personal things, and she was terrified. She didn't know what to do. She was all alone, but she wasn't all alone because she was part of a small group. And her small group gathered around her on the night of their meeting and said, "You know what? We're just going to go with you." And that's what they did. They met. They drove over there. They took her inside the house. They helped her pack up the things she needed to pack up. And two of the men went and calmed down the angry husband. And it was a horrible situation, and I wouldn't wish it on anybody. But you know what was so cool was the help and the support and the protection and the practical provision of that small group. It was God's love in action, and that's what's so cool. Let me read that last passage from 1 John 3. "We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth." Yeah, the place that we can really learn to love each other, where we can learn to lay down our lives for each other, and where we can learn to love, not in words, because talk is cheap. It really is. But in deed and truth and action, that place is the small group that God designed you for, because God has called you to relationship. Linda and I visited a small group about a week or so ago. And it was pretty cool because we've had small groups in our homes for years and years and years. But we've rarely ever had a chance to go and visit somebody else's small group. So this was really cool. And the first thing I noticed in this small group is that everybody who came to the screen door, who was arriving, was super warmly greeted by everybody who had already gotten there. And so it was sort of like that old show Cheers, remember, like, "Norm!" You know? And people would come in and they were warmly greeted and they were just loved, and they run in and they'd say, "How was your week? How's it going? How did this go? How'd that go?" And I could tell something, that true friendship was happening there. True friendship. And the thought came to me, why wouldn't everybody want this? And then we, after everybody got there, we had dinner together, and it was potluck, and everybody bought a dish, and we celebrated birthdays, and it was festive, and it was awesome, and you know I'm all about the food, you know. But anyway, it was great. And we shared, it was family. And I thought again, why wouldn't everybody want this? And then we had a time of worship, and he could really tell that these people had learned the preciousness of entering God's presence together in worship. And as we worshiped, it was like God's presence just kind of washed us and cleansed off all that garbage that sort of clings to you, you know, during the course of a week. And I thought again, man, I feel so good. Why wouldn't everybody want this? Then we had a time of teaching and sharing in the Word of God, and God really spoke that night. But he especially began to speak as each one began to share their heart. And God's Spirit just spoke through and touched every other heart. Why wouldn't everybody want that? And then we had a time of prayer, specific prayer for specific people. This one lady had been diagnosed with a potentially life-threatening illness. And she was scared. And we laid hands on her. And the people who knew her and loved her most prayed for God's healing power to come upon her. And another one, the one that was going through the divorce, we laid hands on her and prayed for faith and power and just strength and trust in God, even in the darkest of times. And you know, as we prayed and the hearts were right and the faith was there, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God released His power to change everything in those people's lives. I thought again, why wouldn't everybody want that? And then at the end, the leader shared that he had a friend who lived in Norway. And this friend had just found out he had cancer, and he wasn't a Christian. And nobody knew who this guy was, but we picked up on the leader's heart. And we began to pray for this guy in Norway with all our hearts. And I really knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that this little group of Christians in Honolulu was sending forth the saving and healing power of God all the way across the world to invade some guy's house in Norway. And I thought, this is so awesome. These people are functioning as God designed them. They are building up each other. They are touching and changing lives right in that home and all the way across the world. And I thought again, why wouldn't everybody want that? So how about you? Are you an everybody? Are you ready, if you're not in a small group, to go for it and maybe test drive a small group for 6 weeks where you can find family and fellowship and where you can grow and where you can love and be loved and where you can encourage and find that encouragement you need most when you need it most? Well, there are so many ways that you can get connected to a small group at New Hope. We've got a bunch of existing small groups right now. And we've got listings out there at the small group table of day and topic and area. And you can just go out and sign up for one. And that's great. There's also, we're looking for families who'd like to host maybe a six-week study based on Pastor Wayne's next series. And we'll give you a free DVD, and we'll give you discussion questions, and we even give you worship CDs and DVDs, and you can have an awesome small group in no time. Another great way to do it is just get a couple of friends together and say, let's do devotions together. And you do the reading off of the bookmark, and you journal together, and then you share your journals with each other, what God is saying to you, and God will speak life through you into other people, and they'll do the same for you. And if you have 10 more minutes, you pray for each other, you got a full small group experience. Or you can join a special interest group like the Canoe Club, or a ministry group like the Sound Team, because they have built-in journaling life groups and small groups, awesome groups built into those ministries. Because Pastor Wayne says he wants every group at New Hope to be a mentoring discipleship group. Why? Because we are committed to your growth here at New Hope. And we're getting very, very serious about small groups. And because God designed you for that kind of intimate and abundant relationship.
We watched them running down the aisles. Children's time, Sunday morning. The preacher asked them who they loved. Smiled and started pointing to their mom, their dad, the teacher from the kindergarten class, each and every one. It just become a cloud of witnesses that would see. Stuck. together through the years. Best of friends, faith could foster. So when they found that one of them had heard the news, he'd lost his father, they ran to him, prayed and put their hands upon his head. Slowly, one by one, they'd all become a cloud of witnesses. As they said about the prayer, they took a hold of hands and circled round a friend. And as a cloud of witnesses, with a faith just like a rock, helped him give his father back to God. As a cloud of witnesses, so when it comes the time, heaven calls, they'll come.
Myself, why wouldn't everybody want that? You know, I really believe that God may be calling you today to take the next step into relationship, into his family, because God wants you to have that in order to grow, in order to have fellowship, in order to be encouraged and protected and accountable, and so that you have everything you need right here and now to live this life. And I encourage you to go out and to the small groups table and do that. But you know what? There's a relationship, one relationship that's even more important than that. And that's your relationship with Jesus. He died on the cross so that you could enter into that relationship. And some of you have made that commitment to him. And yet, with any relationship, if you don't continue to build it and work on it, it kind of dies. And for some of you today, that relationship between you and Jesus might be all but. And it's time for you to say, I want to make a commitment to you again, Lord. I want to return to my first love. And if that's you today, don't waste any time. Just do it. It's not like he expects any big thing from you. You don't have to go fast for 40 days or anything else. Just say, Lord, I want to come back. I'm sorry. And bam. That's the power of God, because Jesus already paid the price for your sins. But there may be some of you here today who have never made that commitment. And you're here and you're going, I don't know, there's something here going on and I want that. And you may not understand everything about it, But if you know that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and if you're willing to take a step of faith and say, Lord, come on into my life and show me how real you are, then you can do that right now. And if you just bow your heads and close your eyes right now, please. If you want to say yes to Jesus and invite him into your life for the very first time, would you please raise your hand right now and just show everybody in heaven that that's what you want to do? Thank you. Thank you. Just raise your hand and hold up there for a moment. Thank you. Would you just pray with me softly and as I pray for you? Just pray this. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. I give it to you right now. I ask you to forgive me for all my mistakes and all my failures and all my sins. Adopt me as your own beloved child. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and give me the power to live the life you want me to live. Take control of every aspect of my life and make me the person you designed me to be. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you, Pastor John, for a heartwarming message. You know, someone once said, we are so busy making a living, we don't take the time to make a life. You know where life is found? Life is found in relationships. Go ahead and take that next step right here. Visit our tent outside, our ministry tent. Just tell someone that you want to be involved in a small group and start living the abundant life. Let's all stand together. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you again, Lord, for just a great reminder and an encouraging word for us to get involved in relationships. Lord, indeed, you did not create us to live alone and to experience life alone, but to experience it one with another. And Father, you could have placed us anywhere else at any other time in this world, but Father, you placed us right in this family called New Hope Christian Fellowship to be surrounded by others, friends, by others that we can call Ohana, that we can find a sense of connection right here. And as we connect with each other, we'll connect with you. Thank you, Lord, for just loving us in that way. We love you in return in Jesus' name. Can we say together, amen? Would you seal that lesson to your heart now?
Someone as you go.